Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. We're going to start in Acts chapter 6 tonight. This is Father's Day, and I thought, I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to have two Father's Day messages. So we've got a message tonight again to men about a man. I've been told whenever you talk about somebody else that they should always be there in your presence. So I told Phil tonight we're going to talk about him. So in Acts chapter 6, I'll explain myself and we'll get started, okay? Acts chapter 6. There are many ways that you can study the Bible, and there are many things that we can learn from God's Word. The Bible is God's revelation to you and me, and in it we learn of God's salvation through the gift of His Son. We're taught of the great doctrines of faith. By studying its pages, and through its pages we can gain instruction for our daily living. One of the ways that we can gain instruction and encouragement for our lives is in the study of different Bible characters. Now, I don't know, if I were to ask tonight for a show of hands, do you have a favorite Bible character? I'm not going to do that per se, but you get your mind thinking there. I love to study the Bible characters, okay? You find a man or a woman, a lady in the Bible that God has given to us, a little bit of a snapshot of their life. You see how God has worked in their heart, the challenges, the good things and the bad things, but how God has worked in their life. And it is an encouragement and can bring challenge and instruction for our own personal lives. One of the individuals that is not often spoken of in the Bible is a man called Philip. And Philip was a deacon who later became known as the evangelist, okay? Now, per se, Philip was not an extraordinary man, but as you read Scripture and read the details of this man and his life, he was a man of God, and he was surrendered to the will of God, and he was filled by the Spirit of God to do the work and ministry that God gave to him. His life can be a challenge and encouragement to us, both men and women, and I trust as we do a survey of his life tonight that it will be a help and encouragement to you. We're going to need to cover some ground, have your Bible there. I promise you one thing, though, we'll stay in one book, okay? We're going to stay in the book of Acts, okay? And we're going to look at the life of Philip. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will get started. Heavenly Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for the day. What a blessing it's been. Spend some time with family. We thank you for our church family and again, each one that is here tonight. And Lord, I pray that the Word of God can be a help and encouragement to them. You in your sovereign will and grace have recorded the life of a man, some of the details of a life of a man, and he was a faithful man. And we're going to see some of the things that you used him for. And there's many things that I think we can admire and ask you to maybe reproduce in our hearts and in our lives as we study his life tonight. We thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you're there in Acts chapter 6, we're going to read some verses, and I will read a couple passages of tonight here in the book of Acts, and so stay with me. And we'll learn some things about the life of Philip. Both an exciting time and a trying time in the life of the church, Acts chapter 6, okay? Where there is excitement, there's often challenge, okay? And we see here in Acts chapter 6, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Verse 2 says, and then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles and whom they had prayed. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So we see some things here in the early church. And the man that we're going to look at tonight, his name was Philip. First of all, we see from the life of Philip that he was a willing servant, a willing servant. If we look in verse 3 of chapter 6, here we see that he was God's man. In chapter 6, verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report." As a man of God, apparently had a reputation of being a man of honest report, a man of good reputation, a personal testimony that was void of offenses. It may be a little bit difficult or challenging for us, but I want you to stop and understand there. What we're talking, God has multiplied the church. Okay, we're talking that there are now thousands of disciples. And so when the apostle said, "I want you to look out amongst you in the body of Christ," here we're talking about many people. And because of the multitude that was there, Philip was one of seven that was chosen for the responsibility of being a deacon. So he was a man of honest report, we see in verse 3. And also in verse 3, he was full of the Holy Ghost. A man of God must be filled with the Spirit of God in order to do the work of God. Work done in the flesh, at best, is only temporal or has temporal value. And so a man of God, a willing servant, needs to be full of the Holy Ghost. We're filled of the Holy Ghost as we yield our hearts and our lives to the Lord. The more we yield, the more God is able to use our lives to bring honor and glory to Him. It has been said that yieldedness brings filling, and filling brings power, and power brings fruitfulness, and fruitfulness brings glory to God. Philip was a man of God. He was a man of honest report. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And then he was a man, as stated here again in verse 3, as well as the other six men, full of wisdom, the ability and readiness to apply biblical knowledge and principles to the practical affairs of life that are at hand. Interesting man. Philip, along with these other six men, were chosen to carry out some of the tasks that needed to be carried out there in the local church. So we see a willing servant. He was a man of God, but not only that, he was a man of God, a man of God in God's appointed place. God's appointed place. Where is he? Well, he's in the church of Jerusalem here, the beginning of the New Testament, local church, the church of Jerusalem. If he was chosen for this responsibility, is my assumption that he was an active member there, okay? And he was an active participant, okay? I don't think he would have been chosen for the responsibility if he were not an active member and an active participant. My challenge to the men here tonight, this is your local church, okay? This is our church. We're serving the Lord together here at Victory Baptist Church. God is looking for men that are active participants to give the challenge in the work of the local ministry in the church here. So Philip was God's man. He was God's man in an appointed place, willing to do perhaps the less important task in the eyes of most men. He was given the wonderful title of a deacon. All right, wonderful title. I think some of you know the meaning of the word title there. You look at the word deacon, you come up with some interesting definitions. It means he was willing to run errands. He was an attendant. He was a waiter. And he was a servant. That's what the word deacon means, okay, a servant. So apparently, Philip was willing to serve and not so concerned about being served himself. Okay, most of the time, Sad to say, even when we come to church, we kind of look for people to do things for us. But Philip wasn't like that. And we'll see that throughout his life and what we see here in Scripture, that he was willing to serve the Lord and not to be served himself. God's preparation for life and further service often means doing menial tasks, doing the things that need to be done around the local church as far as that goes. But it's also interesting that all of God's work, as you look in Scripture, all of God's work has spiritual qualifications. Okay, has spiritual qualifications. Now, you may not have the qualifications of a pastor per se, but God does look out amongst the body of believers. He does look for men that have these spiritual qualifications to do the work of the ministry. And how we need men that would be willing to allow God to work in their heart so that it could be said of them that they were men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and of wisdom. Okay, ready to be appointed to the business, the work at hand. All right, so we have Philip. He is a man of God, and he's in God's place. And then the third thing we're going to see is that he's God's man at an appointed time. God's man at an appointed time. These men were called out to work in the ministry there, the local church of Jerusalem. They were called out when the burdens of others were too heavy. The apostles there in the local church at Jerusalem, the church was growing. They were ministering the word of God. Okay, we have a small congregation here. Thousands of Christians. We're talking about a large group of believers there in Jerusalem at this point in time. And so the apostles, they were busy preaching, teaching, dealing with spiritual things in the hearts and lives of others. And they said at this point in time, when the burdens were heavy, when they were great, when there was a need to minister to others, they chose these seven men to be deacons, Philip being one of them, to relieve the apostles and to serve the widows, the needs that were represented in the local church at that time. They were ready to serve in a time when needed. Question, are you ready? Are you ready? The men of our church here, God's man, in God's place, at God's time. Will you be willing to be that man? Why has God placed you here at Victory Baptist Church? What ministry, what challenge, what opportunities, what work is there here in our local assembly that needs to be done so that this group of believers, our fellowship, our church, can function and serve for the Lord? You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the work of perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ, other things that were given to those that had the gift of ministry. All right, now God doesn't tell us everything about Philip. He doesn't tell us everything about his life and ministry. You know, whenever you study a Bible character, sometimes you have a little story, other times you get a big story. I always wonder about those stories. You know, God gives us a character in the Bible and he just tells us a little bit about them. I think one of the joys of heaven is going to be going around talking to some of those Bible characters and finding out a little bit more about their service for the Lord. And anyways, God doesn't tell us a whole lot about Philip's life, but we're going to look at the things that he does. Secondly, we find that Philip was not only a willing servant, but he was a faithful witness. He was a faithful witness. We're going to turn a couple chapters and find ourselves in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read some verses, going to give you the background here. In Acts chapter 8, we read, and it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," that would have been Stephen, "and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. And then verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. This is the next instance where we see the life of Philip. And we see that from here and a couple of chapters here that Philip was a very faithful witness for the Lord. He was one of those that had left Jerusalem and because of the persecution. We find him in the city of Samaria, and we see his ministry there. Let me read through some of the verses. Verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they regarded because that of a long time he had bewitched them with their sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And see, verse 13 says, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. All right, first of all, let's look at the ministry here of Philip. The ministry here of Philip, verse 5 says that Philip was busy preaching. It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Driving down verse 7, we see that he actually had a ministry where he provided relief from demonically possessed individuals through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the sign gifts that were given to the early leaders there in the early church at Jerusalem, and as they spread from there, talks about the healing of the sick. I think Philip was a busy man there in Samaria as he went about trying to serve the Lord. Interestingly, his work attracted a detractor. His name was Simon the Sorcerer. We won't go indirectly into that at this point tonight. But Philip's ministry, God used him to preach, teach the Word of God. What's interesting, though, we see in the life and ministry of Philip, what were the people's response? Well, verse 6 says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There were many there in the city of Samaria that came to saving knowledge of Christ, came to faith in Christ because of the preaching and the teaching of Deacon Philip. Okay. Also, we see in verse 8, it says, and there was great joy in the city. So obviously, because of his work and his ministry, many were encouraged, and there was great joy in the city. The results of that ministry, down in verse 12, and it says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So there was fruit from his ministry of preaching there in Samaria. People, men and women, trusting Christ, making a public profession of that through baptism. We see the Lord working there in and through Philip's life. Philip had a personal testimony of seeking and serving the Lord. Because he had a prepared heart and life, God used him in a prepared place. One very interesting note, just a little side note. I love to see these little things. In verse 14 and 15, I want to just show you something here that personal observation to me, something about the life of Philip. I think he was a man that was governed by humility. You say, well, how do you know that? All right, look at verse 14 and 15, something about his personal testimony. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the power of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. here the deacon Philip, you know, he had been very busy serving the Lord, giving his life to the ministry of the folks there at Samaria. Interestingly enough, they had heard about it down there in Jerusalem. And so from down in Jerusalem, the apostles, they send up to see what was going on. They send up Peter and John. And it's almost as they came up to oversee, to observe, to watch what was going on in the city of Samaria. I read that verse, and I don't know, maybe you don't see that, but I read that the verse, and I see a man, Philip, who is willing to step back. He's not looking for the limelight. He's not concerned about Peter and John stepping in and making comments and taking part of the ministry. You know, they came up, I'm sure they preached, I'm sure they taught, okay? But it's as almost as Philip just was willing to step back because he wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about the work and the ministry of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in the hearts and the lives of the people. Philip had a prepared heart and a prepared life. God used him in a prepared place. Very interestingly, though, the next place we see him, we drop down to a couple verses. Let's drop down to verse 26. And I'm going to read the passage here, and then we'll go back and make some comments about it. So we're in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. We read these words. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, verse 31, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so opened he not his mouth. Verse 33, In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare the generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said unto Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other? Verse 35, Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. First of all, we see the place of meeting. I need to flip back. Verse 26, the place of meeting is a desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Wow, what a contrast. He leaves the busy city of Samaria, and God calls him to a dusty, dirty road in the midst of a desert. What is God doing? I mean, he had a fruitful ministry. God was blessing him there in Samaria. He was preaching and teaching. People were being saved, and the Lord was bringing together a nucleus of a local church there in Samaria. And God calls Philip to another place of service. Has God ever moved you? Sometimes the Lord does bring about change in our life, and sometimes that change even comes when there is blessing and God is directing and we're bearing fruit for him, and yet sometimes God will knock on the door and he'll bring about change in our lives and he'll move us from one place to another. However, sometimes we are often focused on one thing. We're focused upon our will, and we fail to see what God wants us to do. But Philip had no reservations. You don't see any going back and forth here. You know, You don't see in the storyline, Lord, why am I out here in the desert? Who in the world is out here to preach to? Okay, you don't see any of that in the storyline as far as that goes. And it reminds me of the fact that, you know, we never know. We never know when we get up in the morning who God is going to lead us to. During that day, we may speak to a multitude. We may speak to one lone person. See, God requires both regions to be evangelized, whether it's the big city with all the people or out there in the wilderness where there is one soul. Sometimes when we pray for our missionaries, we have missionaries spread throughout all the world. Some of them are on mission fields that are, we say, very fruitful. A lot of people are being saved, and we say, oh, they're doing a great work. But we have some missionaries that are faithfully serving the Lord in locations where it's very dry, very dusty. And we might say few converts. But there are souls that God loves in those locations, just like He does in the busy, bustling cities. God has a burden for their heart and for their soul. Okay, now Philip was, he enjoyed ministering to the multitude. He enjoyed ministering in the city. Excuse me, but interestingly enough, when God called him to that dusty, dirty road to talk to one man, he was willing to go. He was willing to go. So the place of meeting was that desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. The person that he met, well, verse 27 says, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. So he meets what we call, or have named, the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was a Gentile. He was a Jew. Okay, his ministry probably mostly was to Jews. Okay? But God took him out on a dusty, dirty road far away from the comforts of the city to talk to an Ethiopian traveling down this road from a different country, you know, one lone man. Question, would you have spoken to him? Would you have taken the time to have spoken to the Ethiopian eunuch? When he asked a question, of course, the Lord led him. And we see many times where the Lord led Philip, and Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to talk to people, okay? He was willing to talk to that one man, a man of great authority, great responsibilities there. He was coming from Jerusalem, worshiping. He may have been a Jewish proselyte, we don't know. But he had gone to the city of Jerusalem seeking, looking, searching. He was a religious man, but he's lost. He didn't know the truth. And God knew that, and he had a servant that was willing and ready to go. And he called on Philip, and he says, I've got somebody for you to talk to. The purpose of the meeting. God has a purpose for us in our hearts, in our lives. He brings across people, across our paths that he wants us to speak to. In verses 28 through 38, in those verses, we see a sincere soul that was seeking truth. He didn't know the true God. He was reading through some of the scripture there, trying to make sense of what the prophet was speaking about here. We have a sincere soul seeking to know truth. He was seeking to know the truth. In verse 30, he says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then he dropped down to verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other? And so he was seeking the truth and to know the truth. Not only that, though, he embraced the truth. Once he heard the truth was explained to him. This seeking man embraced the truth. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Of course, Philip had been ministering the Word of God, explaining the Word of God to him. But when he heard the truth, he was ready to make a decision. He was ready to put his faith and trust in the Lord. You see, Philip was a prepared man, and he was an obedient man. He was led by the Spirit of God. Verse 29 says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot." He was led by the Spirit of God. He was a man that used the Word of God. Verse 32, "In the place of the scripture which he read was this," and it explains where he was reading. Verse 35 says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." So Philip, prepared man, obedient man, led by the Spirit of God, he used the Word of God, he preached the Son of God to this man, and we have a result. Verse 37 and verse 38, what was the result of the preaching of the Word of God? Verse 37 says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized." You see, a man who was seeking the truth, God had a prepared, willing, obedient servant being led by the Spirit of God, was taken to this Ethiopian eunuch, shared the truth of the Word of God. A man is saved. We have a conversion, and then we have a public confession there, his willingness to be baptized. Philip, a faithful witness for the Lord. Continue on. Two more verses, okay? On the way to Caesarea, what's Philip doing next? On the way to Caesarea, verse 39 says, "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Well, the Ethiopian eunuch, he goes back home, and he takes the gospel of Christ with him, and he shares his newfound faith with those that are near and dear to him. But Philip, verse 40. "But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." So, God calls Philip away. He again is led by the Spirit of God. And he begins an evangelistic tour. He's traveling up the coast. He's on his way to Caesarea. And the Bible says, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to the city of Caesarea. All right, first of all, we see a willing servant. Second, we see a faithful witness. What happened to Philip next? What happened to Philip next? We are in Acts chapter 8, and what comes next is Acts chapter 9. What happens with Philip? Well, it's interesting, in Acts chapter 9, there's a new man that comes on the scene. His name is Saul. And God, in a very unique way, brings Saul to himself through conversion. He's saved, and God begins a work in and through a man named Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. And for 11 chapters, we hear about the work and the ministry of the Apostle Paul, God's apostle to the Gentiles. Well, what happened to Philip? I mean, 11 chapters for Paul? What about Philip? You know, it's unique, and God is sovereign. God lifts up certain ones as a vessel and a tool. And, you know, sometimes we read about them on the front page in the newspaper, okay? You know, if you were to read from Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 21, you're going to read about the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Well, what happened to Philip? The third point of the message tonight is that Philip had an enduring testimony. How do we know that? Two verses. Not 11 chapters, but two verses. If you take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 21. We have two more verses. I'm having a hard time getting there. Acts chapter 21, two more verses on Philip. Well, we do know that he traveled up the coast. We do know that he preached in the cities. He was on his way to Caesarea, preached and taught the word of God. What happened to Philip? Well, the Lord gives us just a little snapshot. Okay, doesn't give us the whole picture. Okay, we do know Philip was a willing servant. We do know that he was a faithful witness. But an encouraging thing is that he also had an enduring testimony. Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And when we entered into the home of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Well, apparently Philip had settled in Caesarea. That was God's place of service for him. Apparently he put down roots, had a family, continued ministering for the Lord. How do we know that? Well, when Paul's entourage came to town, they stopped at the home of Philip, and they give him a distinct title. It says Philip the Evangelist. Okay? Now, he didn't call himself that. The Lord called him that. All right? He started out as a deacon. The Lord blessed in and through his life, and because he was a willing servant and a faithful witness, God took him from place to place using his life, both in the big city, out there in the desert, and yes, now in a place where he settled down and raised a family. And because of that, he was in a location that as the Apostle Paul came through, they could stop, be encouraged by his ministry and by his life. And so we see that he had an enduring testimony, and we also see that he raised a godly family. Verse 9 says, and the same, speaking of Philip, and the same had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. So apparently, dads, Father's Day, he settled, started raising a family, still continued to preach and teach the word of God, be an evangelist. I don't know if he had an official church function. He probably was a leader there in the church, okay? But he took on the responsibility of raising a family, and we know that. He raised them up. Dad's a bunch of girls, okay? He had a bunch of girls, and it says here, virgins which did prophesy. They knew the word of God and were able to share the word of God. Well, was Philip as well known as Peter and Paul? Probably not. But Philip was God's man, in God's place, at God's time. A servant of the Lord. Question, what about you? Men, and the rest of us, are we desirous of being a willing servant? Do we have a faithful witness? Will we have an enduring testimony for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Maybe tonight, as we think of the life of Philip, we could ask the Lord, Lord, make me God's man in God's place at God's time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just a short time in your word tonight, looking at one of your servants. Maybe not the one that we know the most of, but everything that you've recorded about this man shows us that he had a heart to serve you, that he was surrendered to you, a prepared man to do the work of the Lord. He was led by the Spirit of God, and when the Spirit of God spoke to him about being a faithful witness, he was willing to preach to the crowds. He was willing to preach to individuals. And when you moved him from one place to another, he followed your direction. And because of that, Lord, you were able to bless his life. He was a family man. He raised a family, raised children. And not only that, but those young ladies knew the Word of God. And I'm sure they heard many things from their father. They were taught and instructed the Word of God from their father. Oh, Lord, how we need tonight. We need some willing servants. We need some faithful witnesses. We need some men that really have a desire in their heart to have an enduring testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so that they can have their name on the front page and be recognized by everybody, but so they could have a life that's yielded to the Lord, that brings forth fruit, that brings honor and glory to you. Oh, how we need men that will surrender that calling, that purpose, here at Victory, that we might serve you in this location here, in our Jerusalem, in our place of service. Help us to be those men, we pray, in Christ's name. Let's go ahead.